Historian Arthur Schlesinger Jr. died of a heart attack last night at the age of 89. His New York Times obituary describes him as the historian whose more than 20 books shaped discussions for two generations about America's past. Schlesinger was a special advisor to President Kennedy and wrote a Pulitzer Prize-winning book about Kennedy's presidency. I spoke with Schlesinger in 2002 on the 40th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis, which brought us to the brink of nuclear war. The crisis began on October 16, 1962, when President Kennedy was informed that CIA aerial spy photos revealed Soviet missiles had been secretly moved into Cuba, missiles with a far enough range to strike the United States. For the next 13 days, we moved closer to confrontation until the Soviets agreed to withdraw the missiles. When I spoke with Schlesinger, I asked about recently declassified documents pertaining to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Arthur Schlesinger, you were advising President Kennedy during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm going to ask you if you could choose one of the documents that was recently declassified and tell us if there's something that you learned that even you didn't know at the time.
I think the role of Cuba deserves a certain amount of emphasis, particularly because the meeting took place in Havana, and Fidel Castro is the only man, chief of state, who's still involved in the crisis, who is still around. Castro did not want to accept the missiles. He felt that this would make Cuba a strategic target. It would complicate Cuba's relationship with other countries in the Western Hemisphere. He would welcome Soviet troops. He would even welcome membership in the Warsaw Pact. But he didn't want the missiles. As Khrushchev put it in his own memoirs, we argued and argued, and finally Fidel gave in. Castro then proposed that the transaction be made public. There is no reason under international law why the Soviet Union should not send nuclear missiles to Cuba. However, Khrushchev believed in secrecy. He sent emissaries, sent messages, lying messages, denying that the Soviet Union was sending offensive missiles, offensive arms to Cuba. And the stealth and deceit which accompanied the Soviet deployment of missiles in Cuba gave a moral advantage to the United States.
Did you not realize at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis that Cuba didn't want those missiles?
We did not realize that. We assumed that Castro welcomed the missiles as a means of deterring the U.S. invasion. This recent conference gave much greater emphasis than the previous conference and the previous understanding to the real tension, the friction between Cuba and the Soviet Union. In fact, Castro seemed madder at Khrushchev than he seemed mad at Kennedy. Having accepted the missiles on the terms of socialist solidarity, he was appalled that Khrushchev had neglected to inform him of the withdrawal of the missiles. Castro himself heard that over the radio. And having made this great sacrifice because of the Russian avowals of the solidarity of the socialist bloc, the solidarity did not extend to consultation or even notification of the withdrawal of the missiles. He was furious.
How afraid were you during the Cuban Missile Crisis? And I'm wondering if you and other members of the Kennedy administration were telling their families to leave town. Were you telling your families at all anything that was happening behind the scenes? Were you sharing your fears once you realized how frightening the scenario was?
We were receiving evacuation notices, those of members of the White House staff, for example. But I think the general feeling was expressed by Robert Kennedy when he said that he was damned if he was going to abandon his wife and children, and that he would confront any crisis with his family. I think that's the way most of us felt.
So you were being advised to evacuate Washington and leave your families behind?
No, in case of war. We had evacuation instructions where to go.
To go to a safe place so that you could keep planning.
As they now say, a safe, undisclosed location.
Right. How close do you think we came to nuclear war? And is there one thing that you could put your finger on that you would isolate as having averted nuclear war?
I think the one thing that averted nuclear war was the understanding on the part of Khrushchev that he would lose the war. He was not a leader. He was a gambler, a plunger. But he didn't want to commit suicide. So I think looking back, he was bound to withdraw the missiles. We did not know at the time how clearly he saw the situation. But I think the great fear on Kennedy's part, and probably on Khrushchev's part too, also, was not that either country, either of these great powers would deliberately initiate nuclear war, but it was that something would go badly wrong down the line somewhere. The Dr. Strangelove situation, where the crazy general decided on his own to launch a missile, and so on. It was that, what the issues of command and control were very much in Kennedy's mind, and in Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara's mind, too.
Arthur Schlesinger recorded in 2002 on the 40th anniversary of the Cuban Missile Crisis. He died yesterday at the age of 89. If you want to catch up on things you missed on Fresh Air, you can now download podcasts of our shows on our website, freshair.npr.org.